we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
I just want somebody to share my life.
If I'm online dating and I'm getting to know you, I'm going to raise the bar much higher now.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. It's your certified dating coach, Damona Hoffman here. Did you know this show is presented by Text Now, the app that gives you a free second phone number that you can use just for dating so you can keep your primary phone number private? And if your match doesn't work out, just thank and release and change your secondary number. Trust me, it's a lifesaver. Speaking of matches, today I'm bringing you an inside look at Bumble's latest updates with Preeti Joshi, VP of Strategy and Operations at Bumble. Y'all know that Bumble is made with dating safety in mind and requires women to message first, but that causes a lot of anxiety for people. So Preeti's got an inside guide to messaging and new features that will take a little bit of that pressure off. But first, I have some updates on the world of love and dating. Can algorithms influence what you find attractive? A new study shows that AI might have more control over attraction than you think. And Halle Berry's drunken reveal about her relationship history and what you can learn from it. Then in Dear Damona, I'll answer questions from you like how to quickly filter out the time wasters and one-night stands on dating apps, and the sex is bad. So why can't I stop thinking about him? Ooh, it's going to be a spicy one. I can't wait to bring you this episode of Dates and Mates. And now let's dish. Well, Halle Berry's been dishing on Instagram. She just released this new video short form series on Instagram called Bad and Bougie. It's basically just her and her friend Lindsay Flores drankin'. And apparently a lot, because she has spilled a lot of the tea on these episodes just about her past relationship history, you know, all kinds of details about her life. She's just putting it out there for everybody. And she acknowledges on this episode that she is not so good at picking. Her picker is off. She has a bad radar for relationships, she says. Now, just to give a little bit of context to her declaring she's bad at relationships, I'll just let you know a little bit about her relationship history. So first there was David Justice. That was her first husband. They were married in the 90s. Then they broke up and she married Eric Benet. A lot of people remember that one, until 2005. But then she started dating model Gabrielle Aubrey. Now, she never married Gabriel, but they did have a child together. And then there was this whole custody battle. There was apparently some sort of domestic dispute. I don't know her story. I don't know her life. But then she married Olivier Martinez, and that didn't go so well either. They were also divorced by 2015. I actually wrote a whole piece about what her choice of wedding ring meant in when I used to write for the Huffington Post. Anyways, fascinating piece. But now she's with a musician, Van Hunt. And she's like, look, I'm not that good at choosing because I keep picking these people and it keeps not working out. And I'm glad that she at first is just acknowledging that her picker may be off. And the thing that I want you all to take away from this is, first, realization is the first step, and then understanding the pattern. Like, what is it that she's actually attracted to? What does she keep allowing in her life and bringing into her life that is not making her feel fulfilled ultimately as the relationships progress? Because there's something, there's a reason that it didn't work out with David and Eric and Gabriel and Olivier. And if you take a step back and you start to observe the pattern of what made me feel those butterflies and feel that chemistry in the beginning, and then what was the ultimate reason that it ended, and you piece that together into sort of like a matrix of figuring out where all those pieces fit and what the commonalities are, then you really have a roadmap to being able to change those patterns. I actually heard an excellent episode with Viola Davis of the Double Date Show with Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue. Actually, we're going to be doing a little feed drop of that later on this week. But Viola talks about having the same sort of realizations in therapy that really enabled her to come into dating her now husband, Julius Tenen, in a more conscious place, more aware of her behavioral patterns and able to adapt and to be flexible and to meet his needs while also getting her needs met. And she did that through years of therapy. So if you're like, oh, like Halle Berry going, what is the common denominator in all of these relationships? Oh, it's me. And you have that consciousness to realize that there is a pattern. And even if the pattern is just, I'm bad at picking, but you realize there's some sort of a pattern, then I think you are invited to go to the next step of really understanding the why you have that pattern. And once you have that awareness, the next phase is making different choices, choosing to date differently. Some of you have heard me talk about my Operation Date Nice Guys plan because I realized I was dating all these people before I met my husband that didn't really want to date me. They wanted to date my job. They wanted, I don't know what they wanted, but they didn't want the authentic me and they didn't treat me very well and they didn't put my needs first. And so I gave it a dating plan. I called it Operation Date Nice Guys. In hindsight, I would have been a little bit more specific. But I will tell you, my husband is the nicest of nice guys, like legitimately. And just having that awareness of this being my dating pattern was something that really enabled me to make better choices and find the person that ultimately would meet my needs and I could meet his. We're not really the ones in charge when it comes to what we find attractive. It turns out this fascinating new study out of the University of Deusto in Spain, it tested whether an algorithm can influence your voting decisions or your choice in a romantic partner. I think we all know that it can influence your voting decisions, but I've never really thought about it in terms of dating and dating apps and the way that we interact with social media and other content online, which is all fed to us through certain algorithms, how that influences what we find attractive, who we want to talk to, when we feel like connecting with someone. And so in this study, participants were told that they were interacting with an algorithm that would judge their personality and give them the best candidate politically or a romantic partner. And it was a mock algorithm that responded the same way, regardless of the information that people gave it, sort of a placebo situation. The second part of this experiment looked at the effect of being told someone was a match for you versus being exposed to one particular person more often. And this is really interesting. When they looked at political candidates, people responded more to the match that they said had higher compatibility. They were like, this candidate matches your beliefs 90%. And so then they're like, I like that person. But when they looked at the romantic connections, people preferred the matches who had been shown to them more often. And they were most likely to want to date those who were implicitly selected for them by this repeated exposure. So what does that mean? Basically, the familiarity principle, and almost what I was talking about with Halle Berry, we are attracted to something that is familiar to us. So if someone reminds us of an ex, or if we've seen a face like that many times before and we feel that we can trust them, or if there's some sort of a connection that we can make in our mind, we automatically transfer trust and preference to that person, which is another reason why I'm like, don't pay too much attention to the matching algorithms. Because if you get caught up in that, like that's the computer, right? But when you're responding to in person, the photo or the voice or the video chat, you are actually having a real reaction. And another reason why we need to take things offline, for those of you who are using dating apps, which is all of you, right? We have to be able to see that dynamic in the real world because we are swayed. We are so swayed by what we see, by the standards of beauty. Like, I know we like to pretend that we're all above it, but because we see a certain body type frequently, because we see a certain hair type frequently, that becomes our default preference. But if you are just aware of what you're being conditioned for, that can enable you to choose differently or to have more autonomy in your choice if you are at least acknowledging where the preference comes from. Whew, this is going to be an info-rich episode, and we're just getting started. By the way, if you're getting started with your dating apps, you know there are plug-and-play profile templates that can help you get online, create a magnetic and winning profile on any dating app, and writing prompts that I have written that led to winning profiles for my clients in the past. And best of all, it is free. You can get it at datesandmates.com. And when you get the guide, you'll also get a video tutorial on how to choose the right profile photos. So don't miss out on that. If you are online dating and you're not getting the results you want, make sure you give your profile a refresh with my free profile starter kit at datesandmates.com. We will be back in a moment with Preeti Joshi. She is VP of Strategy and Operations at Bumble. Lovers, are you bumbling through the dating app experience? Okay, please forgive the pun. But I'm really excited because I have Preeti Joshi with me today. She's the Vice President of Strategy and Operations at Bumble, the juggernaut dating app. Bumble's mission is pretty straightforward. They want to end misogyny and promote equality worldwide. And they're tackling that head on in dating. I would say that's a pretty admirable goal and something that will help all of us in the dating landscape. Preeti is here to talk to us about your questions on the Bumble platform and how you can optimize your Bumble profile and use all of their features to your benefit to make your best matches online. Please help me give big smooches to my guest, Preeti Joshi.
Hi, I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here because we have questions, Preeti. Like, people are out here using the Bumble app and wanting to know how they can really be seen, be noticed, be the top of the B line.
I mean, look, I hear you and I am here to talk all about it. I know a lot of our daters are just starting to like get back into dating as we're, you know, starting to experience a little bit of reopening and a little bit more kind of comfort potentially in getting back out there. So I'm here. I'm here to talk about it and hopefully to offer some good tips and tricks.
Well, let's take a look back before we look forward. This has been the weirdest year of life and the weirdest year I've seen in the 15 years I've been coaching singles. Seen a lot of like, for me, it was a sort of a wave. Like there was phase one right when the pandemic began. Then there was kind of like summer phase, then fall phase, and then peak dating season. You know, January was a different kind of peak dating season. What are you seeing at Bumble?
Yeah, look, you did a really good job describing the last year that we've all lived through. Really, whether we were looking for someone romantically or not. But, you know, what we saw in the last year, a couple of different themes that our kind of daters were telling us. I think first thing they were saying was they wanted to experience a completely new speed, and that speed was slow dating. They were really kind of taking their time, being super intentional in building a strong foundation and in getting to know the person that they were matching with. And, you know, what they were basically saying to us is, you know, if I'm online dating and I'm getting to know you, I'm going to raise the bar much higher now when it comes to meeting you in person. And so I really want to get to know that, you know, my match. And so we have some user research that says that 55%, more than half basically, of our Bumble daters are taking longer to basically move a match offline. They're spending more time in the, you know, messaging back and forth or in the kind of virtual kind of calls and the video calls phase to like get to know one another before then potentially doing more of that kind of low-key social distanced date, potentially like walking around the neighborhood, etc. The other thing that we heard quite a bit of was this kind of openness to virtual dating. And I wonder if you kind of experienced some of this in your like overall career of being involved in dating, but until the pandemic really hit, virtual dating was a thing, but I feel like in the last year, it has become the thing, right? Where everyone is really like kind of wanting to form a connection and wanting to kind of get to know somebody and really is investing in being like top half glam, which is what I call like just getting dressed from the, you know, from the waist up.
I call that Tuesday, but
girl, if only, I mean, maybe I should turn that into a like everyday thing. That actually feels like goals. Right? But yeah, they were spending a lot of time in, you know, our feature. We have a voice call and video chat feature in app, and it allows you to do just that, right? Either do a voice call or a video chat without exchanging any of your personal information with the other user, the other dater. And so they were spending time really doing that. I think at the onset of the pandemic, the use of that feature in the United States increased 70%. At the Whoa. Onset. Isn't that insane? And we were seeing that our daters were spending about 30 minutes on average in these, you know, chats and these calls, which, I mean, it feels like a pretty meaningful first or maybe second like date, right? To like get to know somebody.
Yes. I want to unpack that for our listeners who have heard me drone on about about video dating. I said last year, I know, y'all, just humor me for a second, because I did say on the 300th episode. I did say on the 300th episode of Dates and Mates, I said, look out for video dating. It's coming. And then like 3 weeks later, the whole world shut down. And I was really glad that you had already, you thought ahead at Bumble. You already had that feature. So it was a very natural transition. I've also said, to try to keep as much of your communication on app as possible. I believe in that for safety, because you all are like, you have, it's just so much safer than the way that I used to date, you know, just like, well, I don't know, you're in this bar, you seem okay. The fact that you do have information, and that I imagine Bumble takes safety, dating safety, very seriously, especially as a female-led company. You want to create a place that's safe for all daters, but especially for women to feel comfortable.
Yeah, yes, 100%, like, period, end of story. For all of our daters, we want everyone to feel safe in the community online, and also safe when they are then taking a potential date into like IRL. And so, you know, we have a handful of features online to help our community feel safe, but also to help our community feel like they're in a space where they feel welcome and wanted and encouraged and supported and empowered, such as our daters can, for example, block somebody if they're being, you know, if they're using rude or abusive language, for example, towards them, or if there is, you know, inappropriate photos, for example, that are being sent, right? Our users can block other daters on the platform because, you know, privacy and safety is really, really important to us.
Let's also talk about the parameters when you upload photos, because I've covered on the show also how you all really took a stance against heavily filtered and edited photos, as well as adding the verification feature so that you can know that you're really dealing with the person. I had a celebrity client on Bumble, and I had a heck of a time getting her approved because it was like, it seemed like she was fake, and everybody was like, can you verify, because we can't believe you're actually on Bumble. So I know that there actually are celebrities on Bumble, but even for the journeymen and women daters, it's really there to make sure that you're dating who you think you were dating. Can you explain how those features work?
That is exactly what photo verification is meant for. And for your celebrity client, I'm sorry, but I'm also really, really glad that it kind of didn't go through the first time, because that's the whole point of our photo verification technology, right? And hopefully it worked out in the end. But
it worked out. She could not figure out how to do the photo verification, but I was like, just follow the prompts. It's so easy. Well, you'll tell everybody how to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like you know how to use it as well. You could answer this question too. But, you know, so photo verification, the way that photo verification works is on your profile, if you've been photo verified, there's a little blue tick mark next to your name. And that basically indicates that, hey, like you've been verified. You are who you say you are. And what does that mean? Well, it's basically a process where you are prompted through a series of prompts to basically take a selfie that is like, you know, there's a picture on your phone and maybe it's showing you a gesture of like touching your ear or touching your nose or something that you can replicate. And you replicate that pose, take a little screenshot, and we send it to our moderators who then verify that, you know, you are actually doing that gesture and verify
that it's
you. And this
is real people? This is real people.
This is verified. Yes, this is verified and ensured that it is literally like you doing the, you know, what sometimes feels a little crazy, but like touching your ear and taking a selfie or touching your nose and taking a selfie. And what then happens is that you get that blue check mark. Now, here's the other thing that is also really wonderful is that we've recently rolled out a feature where you can request somebody to photo verify. So if you are, for example, chatting it up with someone and you're like, gosh, I really am getting along with this person. I really want to be able to meet them at some point, et cetera, but you want to confirm that they're like real, like they're, you know, they're so good that you want to confirm they're the real deal. You can request that they photo verify and they go through the same process, but then like you can confirm that they are who they say they are before you meet up with them in person.
It's such a great feature and really important that we do it. And that, like,
agreed.
I also tell all of my listeners that the apps take safety very seriously. So if somebody sends you, you know, a dick pic, I don't even know if you can get it. Can you get a dick pic through? I don't even know if that's even a thing.
So
talk to me about dick pics, please.
I mean, I can. You can certainly receive a dick pic if you want to receive a dick pic. So this is how this works. We recently launched it must have been like a year or so now, but we launched a feature called Private Detector. And what Private Detector basically does is it blurs out photos that may be lewd, right? And that may be kind of photos that you're not expecting to see, that you're not expecting to receive. As the receiver of that message, you can either say, yeah, I'm game for this, I'm here for this, send it my way. You could also say, whoa, no, I have no idea what this is. I don't want to see this photo. And you can block the photo. And then on top of that, if there are kind of repeated kind of photos being sent, or even just that first photo, you're like, this, I don't feel comfortable with this. You can also block and report the user who's been sending those unwanted lewd photos. And so short answer is yes, you could receive dick pics if you want to, but at the same time, you have every right and every ability to say, no, this isn't right for me at this moment in time.
And I'm just going to add a little tidbit that 7.5% of heterosexual women, 12% of bisexual women reported feeling aroused by an unsolicited dick pic. So you don't have to be a mathematician to know that we don't want the dick pics, guys. I haven't said that in a few months, so it felt really good to just get that off my chest. Okay, we'll move on from the dick pics now, because there are other features that I really want to talk about. First, let's just like explain the general functionality of Bumble. It's really, I classify it as a swipe app. The functionality is yes or no, but there's a twist. Tell everybody about the twist.
There's a twist. Yes, you are right. Basically, you are delivered as a dater, you are delivered cards, right? And you have a queue and you get to kind of scroll and understand everything about that user in their profile. You see photos of them, you understand more about their bio, you can look at their interest badges or other badges that they may have, you know, put on their profile that indicate height or indicate, you know, what type of relationship they're looking for, what their horoscope might be, you know, it runs.
That's very hot right now. I just read an article on that. Like people are matching. I've been into this since Jump. I'm like, now everybody's just as weird as I am. But
let me tell you, particularly in the last year, I have started to check my horoscope, I think, daily. And I didn't really think of myself as like a horoscope person. But now I just like see them coming to life like every day. And I love
What's your sign? What's your sign?
I am an Aquarius. And then I'm a Leo rising. So my sun sign is an Aquarius. My rising sign is a Leo.
I can see that. Yeah. The boldness comes out.
Oh, okay. See, I had no idea until I took this quiz and I was like, I guess this makes sense.
Literally. Although sometimes you can like kind of make any of it make sense, but it's a fun diversion. And it's interesting. And it's an interesting data point. I would just say I wouldn't make all of your dating decisions based on someone's sun sign in Western astrology. We've covered Western astrology and Vedic astrology on the show. Y'all can go back and listen to episodes, but it's there if it's important to you.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that's exactly it. It's there if it's important to you. And there's also other information that's there if it's important to you, right? Like you can have your star sign, you can have your, you know, political party affiliation on your profile. I mean, you can literally have any amount of information on your profile. And I mean, at Bumble, we encourage that you have as much information as possible on your profile because I mean, it just like helps the other person understand who you are and get to know you better before they make the decision of, yeah, I'm interested in getting to know this person, or actually we don't really connect, or we probably aren't going to vibe. Like maybe let me look for someone else.
Right.
But to answer your earlier question, the twist. So our twist at Bumble, and this is the genius and the inspiration of our founder and CEO, Whitney Wolf Hurd, but our twist at Bumble is women are empowered to make the first move in any hetero relationship. And so if a man and a woman are matched, then she gets to make the first move and unlock that conversation. And so, you know, this was Whitney's idea in really flipping dating norms on their head and trying to take, you know, age old gender kind of like norms and stigmas and say, well, why do we as women have to wait for a man to come up to us at the bar and say, hey, can I buy you a drink? Why can't we do that? Why can't we say, hey, you look interesting. I'd love to get to know you. And right. So that is our twist, is women make the first move.
Well, I would also say from a women feeling safe perspective, one common challenge I used to hear pre-Bumble was that women that were, you know, very attractive would get hundreds of messages a day that were unwanted messages, sometimes with these unsolicited lewd photos attached, some just like guys shooting their shot, and they'd get overwhelmed, and then the experience for them wouldn't be that great. So the fact that you have to have a mutual match to communicate is really an important feature. I'm curious, just for the listeners that write to me and say, I don't like sending the first message. I feel like when the women say, I don't like sending the first message, and when I do, I feel like it makes the guys lazy. Now, they've heard my perspective on this, Preeti, but I want to know from the Bumble perspective, like, what are you actually seeing in terms of the engagement and the activity when the woman is making the first move on your app?
You know, so on our platform, we've seen that the community as a whole is excited about women making the first move. And so when she makes the first move, and hopefully she makes the first move with something that's a little bit more than like, hey, right? But when she makes the first move, we see that the conversation is a good conversation, and there's, you know, kind of a good back and forth, and there's flow that happens. Now, what we have heard is, for women, it's hard to always be kind of like coming up with something interesting and creative on the spot. And I get that because I'm also not the, you know, the most creative person. And so,
come on, you have a Leo rising. You're good.
You know what always happens to me, Damona, is that I'm in a situation and I like feel like there's a conversation going. And then like 45 minutes later, I'm like, dang it, I should have said this. Like, that's always what happens is I think of like the perfect line like 45 minutes later,
right.
which is never helpful.
We're
never
all
helpful.
So much more clever in hindsight. Of course.
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
I'm sure you're doing okay. I'm sure you're doing okay.
I mean, you know, my husband would say that I did fine, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe it was 7. I can't even keep track of time anymore, but he would say so, but like, he's also biased at this point. So, you know.
Well, he's still around. So I think you're keeping him engaged in conversation, certainly. I kind of want to know what are some good opening lines? You said not, hey, but yeah. Do you see any, I don't know if you like have data on this or track, like what's a good formula? I like to tell people my formula has been comment plus question, but I know for some people that can be a little bit overwhelming. What are some other ways on Bumble that people can engage in conversation and move things to the next phase?
Yeah, I mean, look, Damona, I think comment first and then question is such a wonderful way to kind of start the conversation because, you know, it allows you to show that you've like taken the time to scroll through someone's profile and get to know them. But then it also like gives them a like opening, right? And kind of a way to kind of react to whatever you may have to say. And I know that it is also not the easiest thing in the world to be super witty and to come up with like the perfect like first line or first move on the spot. And, you know, because we are very keen on striking while the iron's hot, time is also of the essence. And so we have a feature on Bumble that's called the question game. And what this feature is it basically allows our daters to engage with their matches in a little bit of a like unique way by asking them kind of different questions and then letting kind of both of them answer at the same time. So users can shuffle through these pre-generated questions within the app, or they can write their own should they, you know, be inventive or very creative. And what happens is both people, so both daters, respond to the question at the same time or basically respond before the answers are revealed to one another. And so it's just kind of a playful and interactive way to kind of like get to know one another and is, you know, a step further than saying hi or hello, but also doesn't require as much kind of wit, if you will, and humor as maybe a comment and a question.
Yeah, I was like just thinking, don't try and be cute, you guys. They've done all the hard work for you. OK, just play the game like how they wrote it first.
Literally.
I mean, if you get like 5 questions in and you're like, I think I got this. I think I'm going to be really clever. But just use the tools as they gave them to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, it's also like they're playful questions. I think like one of the questions is something like, do you wear socks? Like, do you wear socks to sleep or not? Right. And it's like fun questions like that. That's like, oh, well, do you wear socks to sleep, Damona? I don't, because when I wear socks, I feel like I get nightmares. So, you know, here we are.
You know, curveball. I sometimes do and sometimes don't. I prefer no socks, though. But
yeah.
Also, folks, don't read too much into it. Like, don't say, like, I could never date a sock sleeper ever.
Yeah. Because
it just makes it fun. Like, that's what I always try to remind my listeners is that, like, especially the early phase, it should be fun. You should enjoy it. Don't take it so seriously in that early phase. You're just getting a vibe of the person and seeing if they match up with your 3 must-haves and don't have your 1 deal breaker. That's it.
That's exactly it. And it's super low key, right? You're just getting to know someone. And hey, and if it doesn't work out, that's totally okay. I think the important thing is to tell that person and to not just kind of ghost them or like leave them hanging, right? Let them know that this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I really wish you the best of luck. And then move on and spend time trying to find another match. But there are plenty of fish in the sea.
Exactly. Do it like bachelor style.
Yes.
I wish you luck on your journey.
Will you accept this rose?
I'm always encouraging people just to get to the next phase. Like you make the connection. The match is just one. It's just the first step. But then exactly. You're always driving to the next phase, which, you know, I like the phone call. I think the video chat is kind of two steps in, especially in COVID, because you might not get a real date for a while. So I like to pull the connection like sweet taffy.
You like to slow play it. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that is completely fair. I mean, it's like you want to kind of slowly introduce one additional like layer of newness. And the first is texting. The second is like hearing each other's voice. The third is like seeing each other virtually. And then maybe the last stage is, hey, okay, are we ready to meet up in person?
Exactly. But I liked what you said about the video chats being about 30 minutes. Like, I think that's a good amount of time. I write for a column called Date Lab in the Washington Post, and we've been doing virtual dates pretty much all year. We've had a couple social distance dates, but, you know, we matchmake, send people on a date and write about it. And like some of these folks are like, we had a 2-3 hour virtual date. And I'm just like, how? I mean, it's great for me because it gives me a lot to write about because I'm just, you know, reportage, like what happened on the date. Of course, with an entertaining spin always. But for me, that seems like a lot of pressure on a virtual date because you don't have the outside inputs of like the waiter or other people or, you know, music that's playing or scenery changing. So it's a lot of pressure on just that in-person face-to-face, literally face-to-face connection. So I think 30 minutes is about right for that first one. 20, 30 minutes is really all you need to know before you go to the next step. Like, is this person worth meeting face-to-face or setting like a more official virtual date with?
Yeah. And I think some of those then like more official virtual dates can be as, you know, inventive as like cooking a dish together, but doing it, you know, from the comfort of your own homes, right? So that
Love
to
it.
Your point, like, yeah, there's still other stimulation that you can kind of talk about, right? That's like, oh, wait, I ran out of the spice, or oh, hey, like, you know, need to go like chop these vegetables, whatever it is. Clearly, I would be awful at going on a date, clearly. But there's at least kind of more stimulation in kind of doing something on a virtual date than even just kind of having a face-to-face kind of like coffee chat or glass of wine.
Exactly. I say gamify it, like give yourself an activity.
Yes.
Okay, one more question about features, and then I want to talk about the future of Bumble and what you think is next.
Okay.
If we can predict and prognosticate.
Okay.
Beeline. Let's talk about Beeline. Why would that be a feature? Because that's a premium feature, right?
It is.
What? And just a note, because I also have gotten comments about like, why are all of these features that I want costing money? And I'm like, I don't know, when's the last time you got something really good for free? Right? Like I feel better paying for the features because then I also know that if somebody else is paying for this feature that they have a little bit of an investment in actually meeting you. But it's still like it's not a high ticket item. Like I think it's a worthwhile investment. But tell the folks what they win with the Beeline.
Well, so to your worthwhile investment piece, really quickly, so I would tend to agree. No, look, and you're right. In general, Bumble is free and it'll always be free, and you can have the best experience in the kind of free version of the app, right? So many of our success stories find love by bumbling and really just bumbling. And so that is definitely an option. Now, however, we do have a few premium, you know, optional premium features. And particularly when you subscribe to Bumble Premium, what we found in our data is that Bumble Premium subscribers get up to 18 times more matches than non-subscribers. 18 times. So, you know, it kind of works.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's just because of like a higher level of engagement because they've made the investment, or is it just because the features open up different possibilities? I'm just curious.
I think it's both. I think it's that there's the kind of, there's just more intent, right? If it, you know, if you're willing to pay for something, then you are likely more invested in the outcome, right? Of what comes from that. But I also think, and then this is answering your Beeline question. I also think that there's, you know, some of the features just open up a little bit more of a kind of clear path to a match, if you will, right? So like for, so Beeline, for example, basically is a feature that allows you to see who has already shown interest in you, but maybe you haven't swiped on them yet. And so you're basically able to understand who your admirers are, and you're able to know that they are interested in you. You don't have to guess, right? So you don't have to kind of take the yes, no shot. Like, you know that if you took the yes shot, they also are interested, and then you can match right away. And so what it does is it kind of takes away the guessing game, right? And it takes away a little bit of the, okay, well, let me wait and see if this person is interested. Instead, you have that instant gratification that is, this person is already interested. I just have to make the decision if I am. And if I am, I could start the conversation right now.
Mm-hmm. As you should. Strike while the iron is hot. And I find so many times the connections happen just like when both people are online and you get that vibe, because the longer that you wait in between interactions, I find sometimes the less likely it is for things to take off. Mm-hmm. And people will always say like, well, how do you know if somebody's really interested? And like, how do I read if this is, it's like, you know, if you are feeling that engagement from, you're getting that engagement from them, they're probably interested. You have to take it at face value.
Totally.
The other thing that I've noticed with Bumble is that y'all are real big into time frames. So
well,
there's like 24, 40.
To you, right? Of like, strike while the iron's hot. No?
Oh, she, yep. She gave me a little taste of my own medicine right there. Exactly. And we actually got even a specific question from one of the people in my Patreon Friends with Benefits group who asked about the Beeline. She said, on the Beeline, you have a limited time to respond to men who are interested. Can Bumble let us decide how long someone stays in our Beeline?
So it's a good question. Now, I don't think we actually have time requirements for those that are in the Beeline.
What I told her is that I think it's just there's only so many slots, and then people will, as new people come in, more people fall off. I've seen that. I think it's just the most recent, I don't know, however many matches.
I see. She's asking about like the actual number of people in the Beeline and kind of keeping this. Yeah, that is just a function of what is available on our phones, to be totally honest. And so I think that's more of a, as you kind of start to cycle through conversations potentially or through potential matches, the Beeline will continue to populate, but there is no timeline or time, you know, kind of time frame in initiating the conversation, for example.
So if I'm going to read into what the advice for her would be is you should get people off the Beeline and into chat, right? Like, you need to make a decision.
Make that decision and start chatting with them, because A, you might find that you found the perfect match and like you are good to go. B, you may see that you want to see more variety or more options potentially, and then your Beeline will refill essentially.
Right. Yeah. And I do see a lot of times like I even do this in my inbox. Like, I get something and I'm like, oh, that requires action and I'm not really sure and I have decision fatigue. So I'll just let it sit there. And then it just gets kind of buried in my inbox.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If only my inbox, if things fell off the bottom of them, then then I would maybe take more initiative to clear things out of my inbox. But that's the message there. For our listener, to make sure that she takes action and then moves it forward or passes. So we're not clogging up our Beeline here. Okay, let's look to the future, Preeti. Like, when we are imagining coming out of this COVID situation, you said you saw people slow dating and embracing virtual dating. Let's be real, though. What's the summer going to look like when people are vaccinated? You know, it's bikini season. Do you think that people will still be slow dating?
You know, it's a good question. What our daters are telling us, let me tell you what our daters are saying. Our daters are saying that they are optimistic and that they have a lot of hope in finding love in this year, in 2021. And the reason that they say that is there's this feeling of like hardballing where they're just like, I'm not messing around anymore. It's something like, I think 50% or so of our daters have basically said that they are looking for a relationship after experiencing kind of the loneliness and the lockdown of this last year. But what they also know is they've now spent this last year really understanding what they want, and they're confident in kind of the parameters or the descriptions or the variables that they are kind of willing to kind of flex on or not flex on. And so they're basically just like not messing around with others if they don't align with what they're looking for. And so, you know, I think our data says something like 70% of our daters feel like the pandemic gave them plenty of time to focus on themselves. And then 43% of them have shared that they're more confident now to say what is right for them versus what isn't right for them in their dating life. And I very much expect that that kind of feeling or that mantra will be kind of front and center as we're entering this like the new age of dating, if you will.
I love ending things on a positive note. Like, we look to the future and look at this crappy year that we had, this horrible
year.
What we get to take with us. We get to take confidence with us. We get to take clarity with us. And we get to take Bumble with us to hopefully make new connections. And with all of that information that we have about ourselves and what we want, I guarantee you the matches will be much better when you have that sort of focus. Thank you so much for being here. This was so enlightening. And I encourage everyone to download Bumble. Check it out. Get on that beeline, y'all.
Get on the beeline. Damona, thank you so much for having me. It was so wonderful to come and chat with you all things dating and Bumble. And I'm so excited to see all the success stories that come over the next year.
Oh, me too. By the way, listeners, we actually featured a success story back in December. Go back and look for that Bumble Blueprint episode, and you can hear one of their success stories in action. It was pretty romantic and pretty wonderful. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, no excuses, y'all. Now you got all the insider tips on how to use Bumble more effectively and how you can become one of their success stories. I'll be right back to answer your questions. And Dear Damona, I'll be tackling how to quickly filter out matches who aren't serious and what you should do if the physical chemistry isn't really there, but you can't get him out of your head. Stick around. Welcome back. Before we get into questions, I just need to remind y'all, We have a club. We have a club, and I want you to be in the club. It's my Patreon Friends with Benefits Club. Every Thursday, I do Facebook Lives where I answer your dating questions and give you a chance to tell me what you want to hear on the podcast. I also do a little behind the mic talk about what you didn't hear on the show and what you can expect coming up in the following week. It's only $5 a month, and you'll get access to this community of supportive singles who are going through a similar dating journey just like yours. Plus, you'll get some extra content, videos on how to virtual date more effectively, a dating profile review that has led to a major success story. Every subscription there goes towards the production of this show. So if you love this show, if you've been listening for a while and you're like, I really want more and I want to know how I can give back to Dates and Mates, you've given me so much info. Well, there's a really easy way to do that. You can just sign up to become a Patreon Friend with Benefits, and hopefully we can keep the show going for 8 more seasons. Check us out at patreon.com/datesandmates. Okay, now it's time to tackle your questions in, you guessed it,
Dear Damona. Damona, help me.
This question comes to us from Allison. She says, I'm getting back into app dating after a brief hiatus. I recreated my profile and totally revamped my pics. I included as much as I could to call out my specific interest in long-term relationships on my profile, but some apps don't allow for too many words, so I could only go into so much detail. I am wondering, once I match with a man, how do I quickly filter out those men who aren't really looking for what I'm looking for? What are the best questions to ask before even moving into a phone call or video date? Allison, I feel your pain, girlfriend. I know it's like when you come to a dating app fresh, there's like a lot. It can be very overwhelming. And once you match, you do need to get into a filtering process pretty quickly. So here's the challenge. It depends on which app you're on, how much you're going to be able to filter. And I'm not going to play favorites on today's show, but I will tell you certain apps will allow you to search based on certain interests or different fields that are really important to you. Others will require you to do that within the chat and the messaging back and forth. So the bottom line is that it's really hard to filter effectively for those must-haves within the app. You can get a banter going and see if you like the vibe with that person, but honestly, Allison, you got to be moving to the phone call or the video date, as Preeti talked about earlier in the show. That's the most effective and efficient way to filter and screen. So what you're looking for in that initial filtering phase is, do they understand me? Like, do they literally understand what I'm trying to say? Like, I've had so many conversations over text where it was like, this person doesn't even understand the tone of my text, and it's too laborious even going back and forth. You might just have different communication styles, which is actually very important. Pay attention to if you're getting responses in a timely manner. If they have a high level of interest and they have seen that you are relationship minded and they are too, they're going to be thoughtful and rapid in their response rates. If they're like, I don't know, I'm just kind of trying to hook up, maybe get some adrenaline rush from messaging back and forth, they might not be too quick on the uptake with your messages.